Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. We're going to have a lot of laughs. I love you, Nicholas. Ooh, nothing at all. That doesn't work. I love you, Nicholas. Love your balls. How are you, Nick?
I mean, it just goes from one amazing introduction to another with these podcasts, honestly. I don't know how to react to that, except that when I was a child, the only toy I had was a dart. No dartball.
Yep. The only the ball.
It's a line from the Bros documentary After the Screaming Stops, which I think we've talked about before on this podcast. So I won't go too much into it, but we could probably do a whole episode about it if I'm honest. Like, there's so much to delve into that, but that's not what we're here for.
We are certainly not here for that. I'm not prepared to tell you where I am because I don't feel like I should tell you where I am, but I'm hiding.
You're in a secret location.
I'm in a secret location, like Secret Squirrel was back in the day. So I've just got to get through the next. This is fucking tense. This is tenser than a duck's fanny. Why aren't you on the nest on Valentine's Day?
Again. You know, I'm English, so I don't speak Scouse.
All right, okay. Well, why aren't you? You know, hey baby, how you doing? I'm gonna stick my.
We don't do that anymore.
It's overrated, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit like. I mean, I think I just got so used to, like, not being able to anymore.
I thought. Are we talking about sex or Valentine's Day?
Both.
Anyway, right.
My sex life and my Valentine's life are about the same.
Well, isn't everyone's when you get to a certain age?
Yeah, but that's what I'm 35.
That's what socks are for. I love it when I get a fresh new pair of socks because you get all bits
too
of
much,
fluff all over
too
your
much,
belly. And...
Too much.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm glad that I'm, you know, my. I mean, you're in my top five friends of all time.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I'm probably about your, like, ninth or something.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you. You're probably in my top five as well. I don't count family as friends. And my friends are family. No, my family are friends. But I don't count them as friends because they're family.
Yep.
You know, I got a beautiful, my sister-in-law gave me a beautiful Liverpool Skyline whiskey glass tonight. Ooh. Crystal cut. On Valentine's Day, my sister-in-law gave me a present.
That's very nice.
It was my birthday present from December to go with the bottle of whiskey she bought me, but it only just come in. Liverpool Gift Gallery is where she bought it. That's Liverpool Gift Gallery.
I it's good you gave them a plug, but let's be honest, that was a Christmas present and it's just got delivered. I mean,
well, it was a birthday present, 29th of December.
All right, well, there you go. It was over the Christmas period. Like, she must have ordered it before Christmas for your birthday. So it's taken them, what, almost 3 months?
They were sponsors of Two Tribes. It was a free sponsorship. It was quid pro quo, Clarice. So basically, they weren't giving us anything. We were just promoting them. And in return, you know, they'd promote us a bit. Yeah. Until I got drunk over Christmas and sent some vulgar tweets to Andy Dawson and the other fella. Delaney. Yeah, Sam Delaney, who's fast becoming a hero of mine. I class him in my top six friends.
I heard you talk about this on Two Tribes. I don't listen as often as you'd like, purely because of the nature of the podcast. But I did hear you talk about it, and I thought you lost sponsorship with Top Flight Time Machine, not the art gallery. I was very impressed when I heard that. Okay.
Oh, could you imagine?
That makes more sense. Yeah.
Basically, I've talked about sucking cocks or big hairy cunts or something, and
it sounds about right.
caused a bit of offence, and she no longer wanted us to be associated.
Sponsorship was over before it began. Oh, well.
Yeah. We're working on Everton Gin now, trying to get Everton Gin. But that was going to be the synergy. Liverpool Gift Gallery, Everton Gin.
Yeah.
It's like the weirdest scoreline in history.
I'm pretty sure you turn around to me. I don't know how many listeners listen to Ego, but most of the listeners will have come to this podcast from one of our other podcasts.
Or just come.
And there was a pivotal point last year I think it was just a culmination of things, but I basically called a call to arms, and I said, look, we're changing things up a little bit. We're cleaning up our act. Because it wasn't that it was getting too much, but I think we weren't given the respect that I felt we deserved for the content because of our reputation. And I decided that we needed to clean up town a little bit. And this man was very against it at first, and then quickly came around, and then told me that actually it was one of the best things we did, but then got drunk over Christmas and started talking about hairy cunts.
Yeah. And I mean, I went through and listened to Everybody's Got One because it's a culmination of various things. So Twitter trolls, personal life, just combining into one, and black and white making it grey, if you know what I mean. Sorry, I'm farting, that stinks. Do you know what I mean? I thought the content on here was not suitable for consumption, and I was going to pull it. I was going to pull everything because I felt like I was the toxic brand in the podcast family that we have. If you remember, I was not happy at all. But then it just become like this monkey getting took off me back. I felt, hold on a minute, because you could hear Dolan literally rolling his eyes on Mike because Craig has just talked about bumming a dead dog on Disaster Dog.
Which is hilarious to be able to hear somebody roll their eyes on a podcast.
You could literally hear it. You know, he's like the father figure, isn't he? Because he's the oldest. He's like nearly 90 now. And
I'm glad he doesn't listen to this.
I get where yous are coming from now. I really do. And I've only said a few little things on here because they're not... In the grand scheme of things, what I've just said in the last 5 minutes, big hairy cunt or soapy bummels or whatever, is nothing compared to what gets said in other podcasts. I mean, the customer is always weird. I nearly shit my pants laughing at that the other day because I thought we were a bit risky, but they take it to the next fucking level, man.
Oh, I don't think so. I think we put out much worse content than they have.
Oh, we put out, yeah, quality-wise, they some of the stuff they talk, basically, they all want to fuck each other's mums.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're a bit younger than us, so maybe their mums are a bit hot. Plus, as well, you know, their mums are probably not like our mums, so.
Yeah.
Let's all go down that track at the moment, though, because, I mean, this is, as you can already tell, 9 minutes in, this is quite a random episode, which is what we do best.
But
there was, well, you came to me early this week and said, like, you've got some stuff coming up. You're not going to be around much. So you wanted to get an episode out before the month was out. Because we hadn't scheduled anything this month for whatever reason. So we were just going to go and record an episode and just talk about nothing, really. But you had the foresight to, the Bruce foresight, to open up to our Patreons who sponsor the network and also listeners of some of the other podcasts. And just did like a bit of a, you know, ask us anything, not ask us anything, but like, you know, any questions you want us to discuss. So we did have some responses.
We sure did.
And I've only seen some of these, but I'm the only one that can see these now because Craig, where he is in the boiler room, where Freddy Krueger lives, he can't see
Don't put the shit at me. Like,
oh, fuck off.
Honestly, Freddy God, Krueger. We talked about ghosts on the October. I listened to that episode again the other day. I love going back and listening to back catalogue stuff. So I listened to our Halloween episode the other day where me and you talk ghost stories. One of my favourite episodes ever. Sometimes when less is more, you know, just us two just shooting the shit, talking about ghosts, absolutely stunning. But the other morning, I work in a building called Rail House. Obviously, I'm a train driver. Rail House, Liverpool, Lord Nelson Street. It's a horrible rectangular building, probably built in the 60s or the 70s, I don't know, right? We're on the sixth floor on Virgin Trains, and it's rumoured to be haunted. Now, you can be in the quiet room in the middle of the night, and you will hear doors in this it's basically a corridor. You've got the entrance to Virgin Trains, a corridor running up the middle, and offices or mess rooms or locker rooms going off either side. So it's very straightforward. So there's no way, nobody can come from anywhere without you knowing, basically. Yeah?
Mm.
And you will hear doors banging. You'll hear the entrance door bang. You'll hear the second door bang. And you're lying there in the quiet room. And you're expecting to see a figure walk past the glass door going into the Buchanan on point. No one ever walks past. So you're like, what the actual fuck? Right. So the other morning, I'm sitting there in the mess room. And twice I seen somebody walk past the doors going into the Buchanan point. And twice I jumped up out of my chair to go and to have some banter with whoever it was. There's no one there. Twice within 10 minutes. So it's either the dead men with the staff coming in and booking on. Or I don't know. But anyway, the questions.
Or it could just be very, very short people that you just can't see because you're so tall.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Anyway, the first question I've got here is from a long-time listener and former guest of the show, Simon Isbell. And he said, because we're recording this on Valentine's Day, which, I mean, I'm gonna throw this out to you, but it's a load of bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't bother with Valentine's Day. I made a bit of an effort last year. I think I bought her a card or something. And tried to have a bit of a nice tea. Just basically trying to get my end away in some fashion.
I think Valentine's Day is something, you know, now I think it's a load of bollocks. I think when I was younger, although I knew it was a load of bollocks, because it is just a day that's created by, you know, card companies
and shit. The card industry,
You know, I think when you're younger, you're like a teenager and everything like that, it's a fun day. Like, it's a day for you to flirt with people that you might not have had the courage to speak to before, like when you're at school and stuff. You know, it's an excuse to take out a girl or a boy, you know,
or the dog.
But you know what I mean? Like, so I can see I'm not saying it's not completely irrelevant, but I think once you kind of get to a certain age and you're married and you realise that you can do this any day of the year if you really wanted to, then it's just a load of crap. Everything goes up in price, like flowers become more expensive. Like I went to buy some fruit for my son. I was asked to go and buy some strawberries. And there was only two types of boxes of strawberries in the supermarket. There was a small box of strawberries, or instead of having a large box of strawberries like they normally do, they had a kind of medium-sized box with some...
Is this Goldilocks?
Yeah, with some strawberries and some chocolate dip, because it was Valentine's. And I was like, I just want the fruit. I don't want the fucking gimmick. So... Like, I just had to buy a small box again, which wasn't ideal, but it was what it was.
You should have went to your local greengrocers. Like, I've got Mark. Mark would have had a normal punnet of strawberries.
There's not many. Like, we do have... The only greengrocer we've got in town is a market, like a proper old-fashioned greengrocer.
Oh, I thought you had a Mark as well.
It's a market stall. So they're not there every day. They're only there about 3 or 4 days a week. And they're actually pretty good, and they're pretty reasonable, but... you've got to be there at the right time. And because I work, unless I go out into town on my lunch break, which I do sometimes do, then I very rarely get a chance to go to the greengrocers. So supermarkets for me, unfortunately. But anyway, Simon Isbell,
he said,
with it being Valentine's Day, if you could take anyone on a date, dead or alive, who would it be and why? Happy second Halloween, guys. I'm not sure what you meant by the second Halloween bit, but...
No, I don't. Do you think he has magic mushrooms?
Asda sell Marty mushrooms, is something my wife is addicted to.
My wife.
But possibly. But so if you could take anyone on a date, dead or alive, where would it be and why? And you also said, where would you take them so you could avoid that place?
I'd probably take John Lennon out.
I knew you were going to say that. He's such a scouser.
Yeah, basically John Lennon. And I'd just take him down the local and literally have some beer. I wouldn't expect nothing of it. I wouldn't want a hand job off him or nothing. I'd just be happy to be talking to John Lennon, to be honest. Or I think he'd be doing the talking and I'd just be going, we went to... when our love was young, so now, yeah, it was the 90s, and we went to, let's have a think about this, it was Sergeant Pepper was on the Empire. Must have been the 30-year anniversary, and this, like, Norwegian choir had come over and booked out the Empire, and what they did was brilliant. They went through Sergeant Pepper twice. Once as all the characters... from the album cover, right? And then they went through it again as if they were the four Beatles in the recording studio recording Sergeant Pepper. So, like, Ringo was playing chess and stuff, because that's what he says. All I learned to do on Sergeant Pepper was learn how to play chess.
It's good, Ringo.
Thank you. And that night, after the show, the Empire was half empty, basically, but after the show, I let this lady out of the aisle. I let her go first type of thing. Let her go past. The Lord Mayor of Liverpool was with her. And it's only when I looked, I've just let Cynthia Lennon walk past me. And that was enough for me to lose my shit, because John Lennon had been inside her. Do you know what I mean? And that's as close as I got to greatness. I let on to Pete Best the other day down Eamon's Green, and that's not a euphemism. I literally let on to Pete Best and nearly started crying as I walked away from him.
What do you mean, led on?
Led on. I said, all right, mate.
Is he still alive?
Pete Best is, yeah.
Jesus, I didn't realise.
Yeah, well, he obviously, you know who he is. The first drummer. Yeah. Well, they used to practice in his ma's basement. She used to do a coffee club for all the kids, like a teenage youth club. And the Beatles used to go down there and practice when they were the Quarrymen and all that. And that's literally round the corner from my house, 400 metres away.
No.
And so he's often there because there's beetle tours there all the time. He literally drives like a Ford Sierra or something. He doesn't, but it might be a Ford Mondeo.
Yeah. Wow.
But so, who would you take out for dinner?
Do you know what? I think I would take out the second girl I ever properly dated.
You shouldn't really answer like that.
I have.
What if your wife listens to this?
That's your one. And the only reason, I'd take her out is to find out what happened. Because it was really weird. Like, I'd had a few like little relationships when I was at school and stuff like that. And there was this girl that I went out with for about 4.5 years, I think, in total. And that was like my first proper relationship when I was like 16 or whatever. And when that finished, not long after that, I met a girl, and then went out for about a year, and I was really into her. And it turned out that I think that was the first person I ever was like properly in love with, and it just all of a sudden stopped. And like I just never really understood why, what I'd done wrong, and I've always thought afterwards, like, what was it I did? Like, I'm one of these people that, like, I was saying it to you the other day, weren't I? We were talking about when we went to Orlando, and I said to you, like, you know, if I did something that annoyed you, I said, on the one hand, I wouldn't want to know because that might tarnish the memory, but at the same time, I am somebody that if I do something wrong, I'd rather know so I could try and not do it again.
Well, your haircut was wrong.
My soul glow.
Yeah.
So I'd probably do that. But if I was taking her somewhere, I'd probably take her to the Temple of Satan just so I can enjoy the food and make her suffer.
Yeah, my first proper girlfriend, I was green. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know what girls were for.
No.
And I think her name was Sarah. I'll say it, I don't care. Sarah George, I think it was. It wasn't Sarah Green. She was something there. Something that you used to fucking empty your innards over. But no, Sarah George, her name was. And I used to go up to her house and get off with her for a little bit. And we were into the Soup Dragons together. You know, I'm free and all that. And this one night, I can remember taking up my Ghostbusters 1 and 2 VHS limited edition. Because her mum and dad were out. And when I got up there, her brother was quickly kicked out. And she showed me that she was wearing a teddy, a lace teddy.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wanted to watch the film.
Oh, I think we've all been there at some point.
And she finished me not long after that. We had to meet outside Marks and Spencer's for me to get my Soup Dragon CD back.
Yeah. Young relationships. Yeah, I mean, there's so many celebrities you could probably choose, but I just thought that's a little bit obvious, so I thought I'd go a bit left field. I'd say the funniest thing about that relationship, actually, is that when we did split, I think her mum and dad were really fond of me, and I remember serving her mum. I used to work at Sainsbury's at this time, and it was a local store to where they lived. So she came in one day, and she said, oh, you know, I don't really know. She was her mum was Polish, her dad was English. And her mum was saying to me, oh, you know, I don't really understand what happened. Like, she didn't really tell me what happened. She said, it's a shame. I said, yeah, like, I'm a bit gutted. Like, you know, I've been trying to speak to her, but she's not been getting back to me. And she said, well, look, just remember this. Even if the door is closed, just leave the window open.
Oh.
And, I mean, me and Whitey, because I told, like, this is when me and Whitey started being friends. And I told him about this. And even to this day, we still joke about that proverb because we still can't figure out what the fuck she was saying. And we're guessing it must be some Polish proverb that she's translated to English or something. But it doesn't quite, you know, make sense. But it's funny. She was lovely, her mum. and her dad. They're both lovely, but
maybe she wanted you to bundle her into a boot of a car and just, I don't know,
possibly.
Looking dark, that.
Possibly.
Dark. So, come on. What's the next question?
So, field goal.
I'm liking this.
Field goal. Okay, well, you say you're liking this. Basically, someone asks a question and we spend 15 minutes talking nonsense. Field guard asks you a question. It's really...
He always asks really shit questions.
Nah, it's a good, this is a good one.
Fucking step up,
this
Phil.
Is a good one.
Come on.
And only you can answer this. I want to know what's the second best fish and chip shop in Liverpool?
The red one on the bridge.
Has he got a name?
I don't know. It's always just known, being known as the red one. We used to swear by China Court, don't get me wrong, right? And China Court is closer to our house than K-Town's. But there was one bank holiday weekend where we'd ordered a meal, so it was whatever it was, and it would be with fried rice back then, with a portion of chips and a portion of noodles. So we'd split the chips, the rice, the noodles, and then we'd have the meal on top. And I can remember saying to Kerry, them noodles taste a bit fishy, don't they? Now, unbeknownst to us, my mother-in-law had been to the same chippy and she'd ordered noodles as well. And my sister-in-law, who's just bought me the lovely crystal whiskey glass, she'd been out clubbing because that's what she used to do back then. She'd got in at 2 o'clock in the morning, found the microwave full of noodles, microwaved them. So she ate the noodles, dad ate the noodles, and we ate the noodles. I can remember them.
How many fucking noodles did you have?
No. This was separate. People had gone. We'd all ordered noodles unbeknownst to each other. We'd all gone to the same chippy.
Right. Sorry, yeah.
So that was on the Saturday night. Now, I can remember on the Sunday, not feeling too right, but you've got to eat the Nana's roast dinner. So we all ate the Nana's roast dinner. And I can remember, it was bank holiday Monday the next day. And I think Mission Impossible was on the telly or something. We went to bed and watching Mission Impossible in bed. And fucking sweating. My stomach was all distended, cramps and everything. And I eventually fell asleep and I got woken up by the noise of Kerry vomiting and then diarrhea all at the same time. And I went into the bathroom to see how she was and the stench of everything set me off.
Yeah.
So I threw my ring up and it was like half chewed roast potatoes were coming up.
Oh, God.
The breakfast was coming up from the morning, the full breakfast that we'd had. So everything that we'd eaten that day on the Sunday come up. So we all presumed it was the noodles. We spent all the Monday in bed. And we still... Now, China Court do the best chips in Liverpool. Chippy chips, right? There's something... The way they cook them, it'll be the oil or whatever. Or the cutting machine. But they're a really specific shape and taste.
Mm.
And I miss them chips. I fucking miss them. We go to China Court when the red chippy is shut and K-Tams are shut.
Mm. I know so what you mean, though. I think we've all been there with something. I remember once. I mean, it wasn't Burger King's fault, but I'd had a Burger King and I was violently ill like the next day or like a few hours later. And I know it wasn't the food that I'd eaten. I'd obviously just got a bug because it wasn't just like a dodgy stomach, you know. I had like hot and cold fever and all this stuff. So it's definitely a bug. But when you have that experience, like, it just puts you off. I mean, with your one, it sounds more like, you know, because you thought they tasted a bit funny, that it was probably the food. But regardless, like, whether it was a bug, whether it was a food, if you've eaten something or from somewhere and then got ill, you normally put two and two together and just avoid like plague afterwards. So,
and what I will say is, the people in China Court, I still see them now, still let on to them. Their chippy is still a beautiful chippy. It's immaculate. So I'm not slagging them off. But whatever that batch of noodles was, it might not have been the noodles. I don't know.
Mm.
To this day, we don't know. We pinned it on that. So there you go.
Maybe
the second best.
Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the Nana's cooking. Mm. But only the people who'd had the noodles, because everybody had the roast dinner, the whole family had the roast dinner, but only the people who'd had noodles were throwing the rings up and vomiting. So there you go. Come on. Where's your fit? Oh, no. Have you got a second favourite, Chippy?
Yeah, China Cult.
Is right.
Yeah, my second favourite, even the food poisoning. Another one from Simon Isbell, but I'll read it anyway. The people shave for their holiday, i.e. balls, back and crack. Now,
this is a weird one, this.
Yeah, you didn't mention face at all. And it's quite funny. Like, you can't see me. You can't see me at the moment, but I've not shaved since Christmas week. So I'm quite bushy at the moment on the face. It's all grown out. And I can't be bothered to shave. I haven't got any customer meetings coming up, which is another excuse not to shave. Not that I have to be clean shaven, but obviously I will tidy things up if I am. And I'm thinking that I might just wait until I go to Disneyland Paris before I have a shave, which is another month. So we'll see. If I'm going on holiday, I don't know, because again, when we went to Orlando, I didn't shave. I wasn't as hairy as I am today, but I still hadn't shaved. As to the other bits, only if I think I'm going to get some action. So, no.
So only if you think you want to get some action. So, have you ever shaved your balls?
Yeah.
Why? How? What's the purpose of ball shaving, is my point?
I mean, it's smoother.
Well,
I mean, the thing is, I think it's a little bit more hygienic.
Is it?
Well, let's be honest, if we're going to go down that road, like, if you are lucky enough to have somebody who is willing to go down on you, the last thing you want them to experience is like a hairball choking on a pube. So, you know, that reduces the risk considerably, whether you decide to just trim a little bit or you decide to shave.
Are your balls super itchy when it's all growing back?
No. And I've got to be honest, I haven't done that kind of thing for a long old time. Probably about 35 now, so I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years, maybe.
I've never shaved my balls.
I shaved all down there.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
So that must have looked like a fucking raw Christmas turkey.
It's a funny look, but
it's a funny old guy.
Yeah, but as I said, like, you know, it has its advantages as well. So I think trimmed is good, but to be honest, like, there's just not much need anymore. So I wouldn't really. I've never waxed my crack or shaved my crack. I have.
What's the point of shaving your crack?
Stop getting bits of toilet paper stuck, I imagine. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like anal bleaching. Who's looking at it?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we're doing it wrong. I've had my legs waxed before.
Can't you just get Domestos and a toothbrush?
Probably. I've had my legs waxed before. That was
why.
Do you know what? I think, like, I had one leg done. I'm pretty sure, if I remember rightly, it was because my wife had to try a new product. I'm sure that's what it was. I mean, she did it. She did it to me. But this is probably quite early on in the relationship, so over 10 years ago now. I think it was because she was just testing it out. I can't remember, but it was really unpleasant. I do not reckon. I don't know how women do it. I mean, our hair is different to women's anyway, and it is normally much longer. But yeah, waxing, I don't think is very fun.
I've told this story in the past in Lee Bain's bedroom. We all blacked out, and when I woke up, we used to do toothpaste on the eyes or put pepper up your nose that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And when you wake up, you go, But this time, they took it to the next level, and they drew a big cock and balls on my leg. But they shaved my leg, and the only bit they left hairy was the balls. So it was actually a work of art.
Like a bit of a 3D drawing, yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I'm like a silverback. I've got a big hairy back, a big hairy chest. I'd love to go to Florida in August, totally baldy, all over my body, baldy, just to see what it was like.
I've vated before.
What?
So like vate is like cream. Yeah. So I do that to my armpit. When I was doing the run last year, I did my armpits.
Why?
Because like it's not very nice. I get quite sweaty. Yeah, and it's just a pain in the ass to clean. So I vated me under my arms. And
did it work?
We got rid of the hair. Yeah.
But did it work in what you want? Because you must have still sweated.
Oh yeah, you do. But it's like I suppose because like the hair, it just clings to hair, doesn't it?
And do they get itchy when it's growing back?
No. No.
You see, I might veet in the summer then.
Yeah, veet's fine. When you shave, so going back to like talking about shaving, if you're not careful when you shave, you do sometimes, and I think it's worse there than anywhere else. Like, you know, like when you get those ingrown hairs, you get almost like a spot.
Yeah. I've got a couple at the moment in between me balls and my arsehole because I'm a keen rat cyclist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not fun. So that,
and I got that. One of them is the size of a fucking thumb.
God, can't wait to see it when I hit Florida.
Oh, you will see it.
Yeah, I probably will.
Go ahead. Next question. Come on.
Right. So the next question is from somebody who has been in my life a long old time, and you've recently guest on their podcast, Colin. From the Half and Half Scarves podcast, and of course he was on my bench.
What a gentleman, right? Considering he's a Chelsea fan, right? So you've got a preconceived idea of a Chelsea fan, your typical Chelsea fan, yeah,
like Phil Gard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Asker of shit questions, Phil Gard. Right.
Love
so you've got Colin and you're thinking, oh, he's going to turn up with a flick knife and just stab me or something. But you know what? A nicer man you couldn't have met. And he's had me on his podcast. He's reached out to me. He'd like me to be on it more. And I'm more than happy to. Because they're all genuine lads. They're all football fans. And yeah, like that's enough sucking your dick, Colin. Come on, let's have the question.
So, and I'm going to answer this one first, right?
Go ahead, then.
What's the maddest shit you have all done whilst drunk, right? Now, I'm going to tell a story that I've told previously, just because I told it a while ago and people will forget or won't have heard it. So I'll tell that one in a second. But let me, first of all, because of who asked the question, let me give you a little bit of history between me and Colin, right?
So, is this when he used to touch you when you were a little boy?
No, thankfully. He's not that kind. He's a nice guy. So our parents were friends. In fact, I believe they met on their honeymoons. And they remained friends. And Colin's got a sister who's a year older than me. Colin's a few years older than me. But we would often go over and see them when growing up. And when I was a teenager, I would, like early teens, I would normally go down to spend the week or a few days of like the half term with them at their house, and always had a really good time. And I would have been about 14, 15 maybe at the time. So Colin was a few years older. So you know how you always look up to those kind of people, don't they? Because they're, you know, they're a few years older, so they're smoking, they're drinking.
Well, like you're 14, he's probably 18, so he's got the big hairdo, he's got the leathers on, he's, you know, he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
So, all big brothers are cool.
And that's it. He was the closest thing I had to a big brother. So I used to just like, I was fascinated with him. Like, he just used to, like, just inspiring. And he was turning 21. So actually, this will tell you how different we are in age, because I was 15 at his 21st birthday party. I went to his 21st birthday party. Cigars. And, not at 15, only just though. But it was at the house. It was like a big guard party and stuff. Anyway, he and his friends were drinking vodka Red Bulls, and I was hanging about with them. So he was like, "Oh, you can have a cheeky one of these, can't you?" My mum and dad were like, "Yeah, it's fine, it's a party." So I had a few cheeky vodka Red Bulls, which were quite new at the time. I think that was like a new kind of and I felt okay. Like, I don't think I'd had that much drink, but I'd had enough. But what I do remember is driving home, I fell asleep not long after getting in the car, which you don't normally do at that age. And when I woke up after I got home, my head was pounding, went straight to bed. And I used to go to sleep listening to the radio. I used to have like a Walkman that had a radio. And I remember waking up about 5:30 in the morning, and the room was spinning. Like, I was laying on the bed and the ceiling was just spinning round. It was really weird. And Pete Heller's Big Love was on the radio at the time. And so whenever I hear that song, it's like a bit of an early house record. And whenever I hear that song, it reminds me of that. So the first time I ever got close to being drunk was because of Colin. So I thank you for starting me on a very dodgy road, Colin. It wasn't for you. And Colin, man, he introduced me to like really good music. Well, I think it was really good music anyway. And he's just the coolest. Like, I fell out of touch with that family for probably about 10, 15 years for various different reasons outside my control. And we reconnected a few years ago, and it's been great. I don't see him enough, and I don't speak to him enough, but I don't speak to Colin enough, but very, very close in my heart is Colin. So I'm really glad he's into the world of podcasting now, because that's something else we have in common. So I didn't do anything particularly mad. I think it was just the age thing there. I just had made me feel. But the maddest shit I've done when I was drunk. I was going to say wet boxer short competition, but I was sober. I don't know if I told you this, actually. I entered a wet boxer short competition once.
What's a wet boxer short? So you're showing your knob off to all the ladies?
Well, you like, think of a wet t-shirt competition, but instead of a t-shirt, boxers. That's what I mean. So I did that in a nightclub, and I was dating somebody at the time, and they said to me, like, if you go up and do that, I was being egged on by Wyatt and a few of my other mates. And she said, like, you know, if you get up there and do that, we're done. And I was like, all right, and, you know. And I just got upstage and did it. And, I got naked on stage in front of a few thousand people, including, it later turned out, about 50 of my colleagues at work at the time. I didn't know were there. And,
nice.
I went into work the next day, and they were like, oh, God, how smashed are you last night? And I was like, I weren't drinking. And they went, yeah, you were. You, like, do you not remember getting up on stage? I was like, yeah. And I honestly, like, that whole night didn't have one alcoholic drink. We used to go out, and we were, Whitey didn't drink. And because he was dancing a lot, we didn't want to drink booze. So 90% of the time we went out, we would just drink soft drinks all night.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy shit.
I do more stuff when I'm crazy when I'm drunk, but when I'm sober. But when I did get drunk, my 21st birthday, I got absolutely twatted. After leaving the nightclub, I rugby tackled or speared the sign outside the club, which is one of those spring A boards. You know those ones? So I dived into it and knocked it down. Everyone cheered. And as I jumped back up in the air, like Rocky, it came back and hit me in the back. Of course, it would do. It's on spring. I then ran into a phone box that I thought didn't have a door in it and cut my lip open. And then one of my friends pissed into a bottle of VK Blue, which was one of those bottles you couldn't see through. It was a blue, like, bottle, had like a blue label on it, so you couldn't see what was inside. And he made me drink it and told me to spit it out all over myself. I just thought it was normal drink, so I just, you know, took a big old lug of it and spat it out up in the air, so it showered down on me, as Triple H the wrestler would do. And it was only at that point I realised what it was.
Oh, we used to, in Plumbers, when we were in town, we used to, somebody would go, hold me bottle while I'm going for the piss. So that would be our cue to get our bellends out and rub them around the rim of the bottle.
That does not surprise me. No, new at all. So what do you think?
That's like six people.
Yeah.
Six bell ends.
Six different knobs, all that cheese. So what do you think is the maddest shit you've done, pissed?
Well, I mean, I've done various things. When I was a scally with me mates in Paul Carter's house, I'd got absolutely trolleyed on various. That was the night I drank. I had a down and contest with a friend. He had a pint of lager. I had half a pint of vodka and I beat him. I ran out of the house, bounced off a parked car, bounced back up, carried on as if nothing had happened, seen it the next day, and the side of the car was basically caved in. But in recent memory, it's got to be the 13 cans of Stella in 3 hours in Stuart's house.
I couldn't even drink that much, let alone beer.
Yeah, it scared me. It absolutely scared me. We drank Amaretto, half a bottle of Amaretto. And like I said to Stuart the other day on one of the podcasts we were on, I've never seen him drunk because I'm always drunker.
Yeah.
So I've just never seen him in a state. Whenever... After that 13 cans, I went through a phase where I didn't drink for a good few months because it scared me. It proper scared me. I was that drunk. So we'd go out for a meal with the Millers and I'd be literally having a pot of tea for one. Kerry would be having a Prosecco. She's not a big drinker anyway. Michelle would be having a vodka and Coke. And Stuart would say, I'm on my own. And I'd be like, well, your wife's drinking and my wife's drinking. So have a fucking pint. No, you're not drinking. I'm not drinking. So I still never seen him drunk. I've had some fucking horrific nights where, you know, like I've been out of friends and drank a bottle of Bell's, a full bottle, and lost the use of my legs and my vocal cords, but unless I had somebody on to say, oh, remember when you stuck your fingers up your arse or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Are you, because when I get proper drunk, I don't get, like some people get aggressive. I don't ever get aggressive. In fact, if anything, I get proper mellow.
I'm a mellow dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do have people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've got to stay clear of dark spirits because that really, you know, it makes me really aggressive. But the thing is, like, that's not how it works.
No, you've got an aggressive personality if you become aggressive when you're drunk.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I used to hear people say it all the time, but, like, alcohol is alcohol. Like, the strength of alcohol obviously varies in what you're drinking. But, you know, when you hit, you know, if you drink 40% alcohol, you know, in beer, and you drink 40% in vodka, the effect is you're going to be the exact same drunk. It makes no difference. Like one will not make you, because gin used to have this reputation, didn't it? Mother's ruin.
Bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Wife beater. Yeah. Wife beater. You have the wife beater.
Yeah.
No, you're beating your wife because you are a wife beater, not because you drank wife beater. No bad.
That's exactly right. Nice. Still never used it in your. In their advertising campaign. he's actually...
Right, darling, come and have a pint of white. Go on.
Before we go on, anything involving a kebab shop gets bonus points. I didn't see that. I mean, I've spent many a drunk night in a kebab shop. We I remember once we asked if we could work in a kebab shop, and they let us go behind the counter while we were serving food. Once my friend bought a kebab and dropped it on the floor. He was so drunk he didn't realise, so we just scooped it back up off the floor and gave it to him, and he ate it. We took photos of him eating it. And obviously punch-ups and stuff in kebab shops. We used to see a lot of those, but we never used to get involved in them.
When Kerry was pregnant with Eve, me and Stuart went out on the ale. Kerry drove over to the miller's house. We followed on foot, went to Chippy. Me and him had kebabs. The girls had chicken fried rice, whatever, I don't know. We got in onto his brand new leather couch. I sat on his brand new leather couch and then proceeded to drop my kebab all over his brand new leather couch.
Oh, my God.
Ate some of it and then went upstairs and threw it up. I went through a phase of... I was involved in a suicide in, like, 2001, or training it a person. So I had a few months off. So... on the night, it was like the last weekend before I was resuming work, I said to Kerry, come on, I'll take it out, we'll go out. So while she was getting ready upstairs, I had four cans of Cronenberg or whatever. And then we went for the Spanish tapas place in Liverpool. And in between each course, I was going into the toilet and vomiting.
Oh, God.
Because I just couldn't hold my drink. I would drink that much that quick that I'd need to be sick. And I've done this on several occasions. I've done this in a Chinese restaurant with the Millers in between each course. I'm just going to the toilet and I'd go, throw my ring up, come back, carry on eating, carry on drinking. Toilet, go out. Well, this night with Kerry, I'm literally throwing up but missing the toilet. So it's all bouncing off the toilet seat, all down my legs, all over my shoes. And then I'm walking out as if nothing's happened. She walked out crying and got a taxi home on her own.
Well, probably because you couldn't stand the smell anymore.
So, right, come on, next question.
All right. Oh, actually, I've got one more very quick drunk story. One New Year's Eve, we'd gone out, had a good time with some friends of ours, not friends of anymore. And me and the husband, we were like the last men standing, and he said, do you fancy a glass of port, like as a nightcap? And I was like, yeah, right then, crack open the port. So we had a glass of port each, and we're sitting there just chatting away, and he's knocked his glass of port on the carpet, and it was like a cream colour carpet, like the worst colour.
Oh.
And we're both like, oh, shit. I was like, right, let's get this cleaned up. So I said, like, what have you got? And he said, like, oh, there's some stuff out in the kitchen. So he's dabbing it with, like, a towel or something. I've gone and got some, like, spray or whatever. And we're spraying the carpet and trying to get the stain out. We're not doing a very good job. And he's just like, oh, look, don't worry. Like, you know, I'll just tell her what happened tomorrow and I'll fix it. I was like, okay, if you're sure. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. So I went to bed. Nothing was said. Nothing, like, no one even noticed the stain the next day. It was only a few months later, we was having dinner with him, that she brought up the fact that, you know, why didn't I tell her that I'd spilled port on her carpet? And I went, what?
Oh, nice.
Because he told her it was me.
Oh, genius.
Anyway, Colin went on to ask us, what's the most disappointing record you've ever bought?
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Mm.
Especially in modern, I mean, I've been an Apple Music subscriber now for a couple of... Well, since it launched in the UK, basically.
Mm.
So I don't buy music anymore. So... most disappointing album? It might have been one of the Eminem ones. Maybe the fourth one along. I'd moved on, basically.
I think the most disappointing album actually I'll tell you the most disappointing album I bought. It was an album by Pearl Jam. What was it called Vertigo. It came out, all I remember is it came out in 1995, and the reason why it was disappointing is because Colin had introduced me to this band, which I later found out were called the Sultans of Ping FC, for a song they made called Where's Me Jumper. And I was convinced that it was Pearl Jam. He told me it was Pearl Jam that had made this song. So I bought this Pearl Jam album, listened to the whole thing, thinking, this doesn't sound like the same band, but whatever. And and that was the reason why. It wasn't a bad album, it just wasn't what I was expecting. But the worst record I bought, knowing that I wanted to buy it, was the fourth NERD album, I think was called Nothing. I'm not sure now, but it was awful anyway. Like, I was a big fan of the band. That band was the reason that me and my wife first met. So I'd always liked their output, but that was hot garbage. And we bought it in Florida. We were on honeymoon at the time. It just come out. So we went to a Target to buy it, and we was listening to it on the car, and we was like, oh God, this is shit. So that's probably the most disappointing album I've ever bought.
Well, I mean, thinking now, probably Vanilla Ice.
Oh.
Because when that single came out, everyone thought he was black and he was a rapper and all that. And he was a rapper, but he was a little white kid. And that was a bad album.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I played that album trying to get into it. I play that funky music, white boy. And all that fucking crap.
Wasn't it?
It was.
What?
Lay down and boogie.
That's not Vanilla Ice.
Play that funky. It's on that album.
It might well be. You might be right.
It's on that album. But, okay, what's your first album that you bought?
The first album that I bought was Nevermind by Nirvana. I'm very proud of that.
That's the first album.
The first single. It was just after Kurt Cobain died, and I was really interested to find out about this band. Because I knew it was a big deal. And I'd heard of them, I just never heard the music, and it blew me away. The first single I bought, though, with my own money,
appropriately,
was Anton Deck's Let's Get Ready to Rumble. I mean, the first single I'd asked for back when I was a kid was Stand By Me. So I'm quite proud of that one. But the first albums I bought with my own money was Nevermind Nirvana. What about you?
Well, my first single was Ghostbusters, Ray Parker Jr., yep. 12-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And my first album was Huey Lewis and the News, 4.
Yeah, I saw you post about that the other day, actually.
Yeah. I still go back to that album every so often.
Nice.
But then the first Beatle album that I got was George Harrison. Oh, my God, I've gone blank. I can see the album now.
The one which had I got my mindset on you.
My mindset, Cloud Nine.
Yeah.
Got my mindset on you, and I wasn't a Beatle fan then. I'd obviously heard Paul McCartney. I'd obviously heard a bit of John Lennon, and all of a sudden this George Harrison fella, and I Got My Mindset on You come out, and When We Was Fab come out, which is obviously Beatles. No idea. Bought the album, and on the album sleeve it says, I'd like to thank John, Paul and Ringo. And I was like, "Yo, is this fucking..." And that's when I realised he was a Beatle.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I think when, because that came out, it must have been about 4 or 5, so I knew the song and I knew who sung it, but I didn't know who he was, which is quite mad really when you think about it. But you're young, so, you know, that's
yeah, yeah, definitely.
The last question from Colin was, if you've been fired to the moon and could only take one TV show to watch, what would it be?
Oh, fucking hell, Colin.
I've thought of mine already.
It's going to be something like Breaking Bad.
You heard about this new film they're doing, by the way?
Yeah. I haven't kept up to date with Better Call Saul.
No,
I
want to, but I'm about 3 seasons behind.
They've only made 3 seasons?
No, I think they've just finished the fourth, haven't they?
No, I'm sure that's the third. Mm. I've seen seasons 1 and 2.
Right, I started 2, but I haven't finished it.
Yeah. Or something like that baseball one that I can never remember the name of.
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down. That is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. But, you know, that question, somebody like Ryan could wax lyrical about that answer for hours, couldn't he? Because he is a walking pop culture fucking guru.
It's a good job he ain't on this episode for that reason. Because it'd be a 3-hour episode. I'm really struggling to choose between The Simpsons, even if I could only pick seasons 1 through 12, because they were the best years. I mean, even by 12, it started to dip a little bit, but the first 9-10 seasons are still fantastic.
When were they going to... Because they were going to retire The Simpsons, weren't they?
It's been renewed for, I think, another 2. So it'll hit its 32nd season.
Back in the day, was it season 10 or something it was going to retire? It was around the time the movie came out.
Yeah, it'd be about season 15, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish, in a way, so The Simpsons, I wish they had...
The Simpsons or what?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Never heard of it.
Oh, Craig, it is one of the funniest TV shows of all time. It's about a man called Larry David. Larry David is a famous writer, kind of failed stand-up, who created Seinfeld. He was a co-creator of Seinfeld. And I don't know if you've ever watched Seinfeld, but the character of George in that show is basically Larry David, if he was acting. And Curb Your Enthusiasm is a show he did much later on, which is about a fictional version of him. And he's working like TV and stuff. And it is just a fun... Probably the best written show I've ever seen. And we go back and we've watched it. It's one of the few shows that we've gone back and watched. We've probably sat through it about 3 or 4 times. It's just an amazing, amazing show. So if you haven't watched that, I recommend that highly.
Or Still Game?
Nah, too Scottish.
Yeah. Oh, I can't be Scottish enough, mate.
Phil Guard comes back with another question and asks, what's the best place for dogging asking for a mate? My response to that is your mum's house.
Yeah, or your nan's house.
I hear car parks are good for dogging, but I can't recommend any in particular. I've got to be... I can. In Folkestone, there's a shopping centre, and it's where we left to go to Disneyland Paris back in December, and there was just no security around at all, no cameras, so that's probably a good dogging spot if you want one.
There you go. Did you just get your dick out? And
well, I wasn't.
Did you all just jump on
it? I wasn't, but, you know, I think that's what people do. From Simon, if you could be anyone for a day, who would you be? The most weird wins.
Stephen Hawkins, that'd be a bit weird.
It would be now he's dead, yeah.
Who would you be?
John Malkovich, just to see if it was indeed like the film being John Malkovich.
That would be good.
Good film, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Just a couple more we've got left. Matt Field says, who would win in a fight? The Demogorgon from Stranger Things. Pennywise the Clown from It. Freddy Krueger from Your Nightmares. Or Michael Myers, not the guy from Saturday Night Live.
Well, I've never seen it, and I don't particularly want to, but I might have to if it comes out.
After, yeah.
Yeah. Demogorgons. Which one's the Demogorgon? Are they the little dog things? No, or is that the big bastard?
The Demogorgon is like the one that has like a head like a flower.
Yeah, but it's a dog thing, isn't it? As well.
Well, just pretend it's the...
It's not a human.
No, I'd say it's more like an alien, but yeah.
It's got a dog body, though, hasn't it? Like an Alsatian. Mm-hmm.
It stands upright.
Yeah. Does it? Demigorgons are shit. I could fuck a demigorgon. There's a soundbite.
That's definitely a soundbite.
Freddy Krueger. Yeah. Michael Myers, he's my hero.
Takes pollution.
I always wanted to be Michael Myers.
Yeah, no, I heard you say the other day as well, you weirdo.
Yeah, he's a fucking friend of mine. Who would win in a fight? Who was the other one?
No, it was Demogorgon, Pennywise, Freddy Krueger, and Michael Myers.
Probably Freddy Krueger.
I think it's a toss-up between the two. The only reason why Pennywise might have a chance is because he can turn into your greatest fear.
I don't know that.
Well, I've not seen it. Well, I saw the original It with Tim Curry, but not in about 20 years. Maybe longer, so I can't remember it that well. I haven't seen the remake yet, but I'm sure that's what you can do. But, I mean, Freddy Krueger can, get you in your sleep. Michael Myers, though, does seem to be able to kind of just keep coming back for more. So I'll say Michael Myers on this one.
Okay. Is there any more questions?
One final question from Jed Penner. And it is simply 27 or purple?
What sort of weird shit is that? Is he on fucking drugs?
I don't know, but my answer... it's the same as it would have been if it was something else, and it's purple, because I used to dye my hair purple. In fact, Colin's sister used to dye my hair purple. I love purple clothing. I love purple. I love purple everything. Like, purple is my favourite colour by far. So whilst I don't get the reference, I'm going to see if I can find out what it means, actually.
My favourite shade... I'm going to say purple as well, because I'm partial to purple. My favourite shade of purple is Bellend purple.
God.
I just love that shade of my Bellend, basically. That is... How do I get that into B&Q to get them to match?
I think you just take a photo.
Could you imagine... coming round to our house for dinner for my newly decorated kitchen and saying, that's an interesting colour. I can't quite put my finger on it. It reminds me of something.
You can put your finger on it. It's right here.
Could you imagine?
Well, with you, yeah.
Or I'm naked on the wall and you can see all my naked body except my helmet, because that just blends in.
God. It took the kind of turn I completely expected it to, if I'm honest.
But I love these little shows. I mean, I don't think we've been too dirty. I don't think we've been
only for the first 5 minutes. It's all right.
Yeah, but that wasn't really dirty.
It was a little bit Derek and Clive, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's
not for the amount of people that listen to it. So that's all good.
I love that we've just got something out for the month. I love our listeners. Let's just quickly talk about the After Dark Podcast Network, because it is becoming this bigger thing. It is growing. Where does it go from here? I'm constantly, because we've gone to Anchor, I'm having all these ideas coming out. My latest idea is a Beatle podcast about all the Beatle albums. Something that could be, it's not going to go on forever. It's literally going to be 10 episodes long to cover it. Or do I carry on and do all their solo work?
Well, I was thinking about this. I don't know why you don't actually do a little variation on it. And actually, instead of doing the albums, you go for the albums track by track. And each episode is a different track.
Well, because that could last. They did a lot of tracks. My idea was to have somebody on it like you, who isn't into the Beatles.
No, the Beatles don't offend you. But, see, the thing is, I don't know where you got this idea from, because I do like the Beatles. So you really want somebody.
All right, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. Or Luke might be a good one because he doesn't, you know, because obviously the Beatles made music in the 60s and he wasn't born then, it doesn't exist for him.
Which Luke?
Roe, Lord Luke.
Well, none of us were born in the 60s. No, but
he seems to have this thing. Like, if you ask him about, oh, have you seen such and such a film? When did it come out? Oh, 1988? Ah, it's before I was born. That seems to be his attitude, which is, like, just amazing. So, he's probably never even heard of the Beatles.
Well, yeah, he's probably not even heard of Slade then. And it would be, so whoever I finally get, it's me trying to tell them or trying to persuade them that the Beatles were the best band in rock and roll history by going through, they have to listen to the album and then we talk about it. I bombard them with facts.
What about your kids?
I have considered doing a podcast with my kids. My 15-year-old, Arieve, 5 years ago would have bit my hand off, but she's now a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
So everything I do embarrasses her. She's the most beautiful young lady. She's grown up, so, you know, she's no trouble. She does all her work, everything. But I can't be seen in the same room as her.
Yeah. Well, just do it. Just record it like you record this with me. We're not in the same room.
Yeah. Well, that might work, actually. Our Grace, it'd be... I have said to Grace, does she want to do a podcast with me? Again, because Anchor has given us this freedom, I want to put something down for when I'm dead, basically. Mm. So, you know, if you're with Lipsyn, and I'm not slagging Lipsyn off or any of the podcast provider, and you die, as soon as the payments stop, then your podcast stops, basically. Mm. Whereas I think we'd live on Anchor.
I think it would carry on with Lipsyn. I don't think it disappears completely. It's just that I think the feed still stays up, but whatever. But yeah, I know what you're saying. I only said that because actually the other day, I think I said to my daughter, "Oh, what are we doing at the weekend?" Because we're doing a few things this weekend with friends and family and whatnot. And she said, "Oh, are we recording another podcast, Daddy?" And I said, "Oh, you want to record another podcast, do you?" She went, "Oh, yeah, that'd be fun." I said, "What do you want to talk about?" She went, "I don't know. We could read stories or we could make up stories." And I was just like, oh, my heart is melting right now. So I might have to think of something.
That would be lovely, wouldn't it?
For that reason, because as you say, like when they get older, she won't want anything to do with me. Not for a few years anyway, but so there's that. But it's a weird thing because, you know, what, 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we had one podcast, which was Disaster Dark, and then we decided to do a spin-off for Universal because we used to talk a lot about Universal. It didn't seem to make much sense being on there, and I thought that was going to be it. And then eventually you came up with the idea of, I think you came up with the idea of doing pop, which later became this. And then I kind of resurrected pop because I then stopped wanting to talk about stuff which didn't fit into the other categories. So I brought that back with Y2 for a bit. And then Strike. And then there was a wrestling one for a little bit that just... I never knew what happened with the last recording. Just nothing ever came out of it. And then, you know, we've reached out to these other people. So like you mentioned earlier, The Customer Is Always Weird, which is a podcast that Ryan, who is now obviously a member of the team, you know, does with his friends, which is great and not like anything else here. And then
we've got the two Americans. Yep. What's it called?
It's not called 6 Year Stretch. that's a podcast about something else. And
we've got 15 podcasts
in total. It's just crazy.
And I'd like more people to come and join us. So if you've got a podcast idea, basically, all it'll be is a little boost at the end. This podcast is part of the podcast, and we'll promote it through conversation. We have our voices. Our voices are free. There's no money involved. You'll be using Anchor to distribute. That'll put it out to everybody.
You don't even have to do that. I mean, we've moved our stuff, most of our podcasts, over to Anchor.
You don't have to move to Anchor. You can do your podcast wherever you want.
Tom Luke Draw is the wrestling, the retro wrestling podcast that we have, and the only podcast we have now that Michael Watson does with his friend James. And, they have that still on. What do they have it on? It's not one that I was familiar with, actually. I think it's an American one, but it's not one I'd heard of. The thing is, they're part of the network now, but they have, they've kept their podcast where it is. So really, when we say a network, you're still,
you're still independent.
Yeah, it's just that it's by association. And like you said, it's putting us thing at the end. It's us talking about things. It's us putting adverts into other shows if you want us to do that. So that's all it is. But it's just it feels nice that we started, with a show, and it's just grown into this network now. And who knows? One day we might be able to make some money on it.
Yeah,
that would be a lovely dream.
One day. We could sell it for $1 million.
Yeah, I think we're more likely to sell it for £1 million.
But it is so easy to produce a podcast. So what if you're passionate about something, we will consider anything.
And we'll help as well, because, I know when... and Colin's had a lot of mentions tonight, so I hope he's not getting his own ego. But when he first had an idea to do a football one, because he knew that it was something I did, he came to me and said, what do you do? And I was going to have, I gave him a few tips, but I was going to have a call with him and kind of really go down what I do. He was able to do things his own way. And, the first few episodes of Half and Half Scots, the sound quality is not particularly great. And that's where he's figuring out how to recall things and how to set things up. And ever since then, the editing's great on it, the audio's great on it. With a little bit of playing around and just a little bit of effort from yourselves, it's actually not particularly hard to make a podcast, especially with something like, and I've still got my reservations with Anchor and using it to record, but in Anchor, if you sign up to Anchor, you can record your own podcast between about five or six people if you wanted to. The quality won't quite be as good, and the editing's not as good, but if you weren't sure what to do and you just wanted to test it, you can do it. It's really, really easy. And if you just have an idea, like Craig said, and you want to bring it to us, we'll give you advice. And we're not the best podcasters in the world, but
I'm a podcast listener.
Yeah.
I'm an avid podcast listener. I had an idea for Mr. and Mrs. And that was going to be us lot getting together with our other halves on a monthly basis or a weekly basis and just recording an hour about news or topics or whatever. But Mike Kerry just said, no.
Yeah, and mine wasn't that. She doesn't want to speak to me the best of times, let alone for a monthly podcast. And the thing is, like you say, you've had the idea for the Beatles one. We talked about half a year ago about now that's what I call music podcast we was going to do, where we was going to review all of the Now albums from number one up to 100, just because we thought it'd be funny. And that's it. Sometimes you come up with ideas and you just don't have the time. But if you have an idea and it's something you want to do, and we're not asking, we're not saying this because we want to necessarily be on any more podcasts, but if you want to do your own thing and you want some help or you'd like to be associated, then drop us a message. We'll be happy to talk.
Definitely.
Yeah.
because that's what we fucking do, talk.
Yeah, we do, a lot.
So, I mean, we're coming up to 80 minutes now, so shall we wind it up?
Yeah, I mean, it's no making hay 3 of it, but it's still long enough.
Oh, well, I'm 3 hours into that, and I didn't even realise I'd listened to 3 hours. My goal at some point this year is to produce a 5-hour podcast episode.
You know what the problem is? It took me about 4 days to listen to it. And so you forget stuff as you go along. And I really thought I was going to get bored. But I listened to the whole thing. So it couldn't have been that boring.
Oh, I could listen to them three. I love Q. I love Brian. And I love Walt. Mm. Walt is who I aspire to be.
Brian is who I am, I think. Not quite as simple.
And I don't get to say it very often. So I'm going to say it now. Can I say it?
You can always say it.
Cue the music.
Good days, bad days, just take them as they come along. Well, I say, you say, don't even matter to me, smiling on the other.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.